Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling something pretty central for anyone using the AO platform, the dashboards page. It's in their easy answers section.
Right. Think of it as your command center for getting quick insights.
Exactly. We want to figure out how to navigate it, manage things, and really use those dashboards to see important info fast. We're using the official Help Center docs as our map here.
Mm-hmm. And our mission, really, is to help you get comfortable with all the dashboard features so you can pull out insights much quicker.
Yeah, if you feel like you're drowning in data sometimes, this is about, you know, making sense of it all. The sources cover a lot, from the very basics to filtering and downloading.
Okay, so first things first, what is a dashboard in AO platform terms? Sounds like the main overview spot.
It really is. The docs describe it as a collection of apps.
Apps being like data visualizations, charts, tables, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And they're organized into sections, maybe even app groups, to keep things logical, like different zones on your desk, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And these apps, where do they actually originate from?
Well, often they come straight from the Easy Answers results page. You run a search, get results, and you can pop that result onto a dashboard.
Oh.
But there's also the App Composer, which sounds more powerful.
Right, that's for building custom apps. So you're not limited to just the standard results. You can tailor things quite a bit.
That offers a lot more flexibility then.
Definitely.
So imagine someone's totally near. They click dashboards. What do they see? Is it just blank?
Pretty much, yeah. The documentation actually mentions this. If there are no dashboards set up, you'll just get a no dashboards message.
Oh, okay.
And if you have a dashboard shell, but no apps added to it yet, it'll say, no apps on dashboard. It's designed to be clear, not confusing.
Good. So it guides you. Now, assuming you do have dashboards and apps running, what are the main controls we need to know about up top, presumably?
Exactly. The dashboard header is key. First big thing is the dashboard's button itself. Click that, and a panel slides out showing all the dashboards you can access. It handily sorts them into favorites, my dashboards, the private ones you made, and shared dashboards.
That organization sounds useful. Favorites, my dashboards, shared. Got it. What else is in that header?
The other really important one is dashboard options. This is like the master control for the dashboard you're currently looking at.
Okay, what can you do from there?
A whole bunch, actually. You can refresh the data, set up filters, which we definitely need to talk more about.
Mm-hmm.
Manage the layout, like add sections or rearrange apps, add new apps. Flag the dashboard as a favorite. Edit its name or description and download data or reports. It's kind of the main toolkit for that dashboard.
Wow. Okay. A lot packed into that menu. And the docs also mention section options and app options.
Yeah, that's the next level down.
Yeah.
If your dashboard has sections, each section will have its own little options menu for managing just that section.
Right.
And then each individual app on the dashboard also has its own options menu for controlling just that one app.
Yeah.
So control at every level, really.
Dashboard, section, app, layers of control.
Okay, that structure makes sense. Let's dive into those filters you mentioned. How do they help you cut through the noise?
Filters are absolutely crucial. I mean, say you've got an app showing sales for the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
A filter lets you say, okay, just show me California. Or maybe only show me customers who unsubscribed last month.
Mm-hmm.
It's about refining the view to answer your specific question.
Right, focusing the lens. So how do you actually apply these filters? Where do you find the controls?
The main way is that configure filters option in the main dashboard options menu we just talked about.
Okay.
But interestingly, you can also set up filters that only apply to a specific section. You do that when you're managing the layout of that section.
Ah, so section-specific filtering, too. And once you open the filter controls, what does that look like?
You'll see a filter row appear, usually just below the header. Initially, each available filter probably just says, is any, meaning it's not active yet.
Right. You click on one of those filters, and a little pop-up appears. And it's smart. It adapts based on the data type. Text fields get text options, number fields get number options, dates get date options, you know.
That makes sense. It knows what kind of data it's dealing with.
Exactly. So for text, your string filters, you'll see things like equals, not equals, contains, begins with, maybe even options for case sensitivity.
Uh-huh.
And something called dependent filters can be really useful.
Dependent filters? What are those?
That's where the choices in one filter depend on what you picked in another. Like maybe you pick a region first, and then the city filter only shows cities in that region.
Oh, I see. That could really streamline things.
Yeah. And you can sometimes customize how the values are displayed, too, like combining an ID and a name so it's easier to pick the right thing.
Neat. Okay, what about numbers?
For numbers, it's usually either picking a single value with the condition equals, greater than, less than, that sort of thing, or setting a range, like a from and to value.
Right. And dates. Probably similar.
Very similar. Date and datetime filters often have helpful presets like today, yesterday, last 7 days.
Oh, nice. Saves picking dates manually sometimes.
Exactly. But you can still pick specific dates or times and apply conditions too.
Mm.
And then for Boolean true-false data, it's simple. Is true? Is false? Or maybe check the value is missing, like is null or is not null.
Okay, so you've picked your filter values. How do you make them work?
There'll be an apply button. Click that, and the relevant apps on the dashboard refresh to show only the data matching your criteria.
And getting back.
Usually a reset button to clear everything, or little X icons next to each filter in the row to clear them individually.
Pretty straightforward. But what if I use the same filter combo all the time, like California sales for the last quarter? Do I have to set that up every time?
No, that's where filter views come in. This is a huge time saver.
Okay.
Once you have your filter set just right, you can save that whole configuration as a filter view. Give it a name, like Q3 California sales. Then next time, instead of setting all those filters again, you just pick Q3 California sales from a dropdown and boom, all the filters are applied instantly.
Oh, that sounds incredibly useful. Saves a ton of clicking.
It really does.
And can you manage these saved views, like rename them or?
Absolutely. You can manage them, rename them, add descriptions so you remember what they do, even set one as your default view for that dashboard.
Default, so it applies automatically when you open it.
Exactly. You can also make views public, so others using the shared dashboard can use your saved filter settings, and you can reorder them in the list. Full control, really.
Okay, standard filters, saved views. The docs also mentioned advanced filters. How are they different?
Advanced filters are for, well, more complex logic. When the basic equals this or contains that isn't enough.
Like combining things?
Yeah, exactly. Think it's show me customers in California AD who bought products XOR customers in Nevada who bought product Y. Much more intricate condition.
I see.
You build these using something called the Query Builder. It's more powerful, but the key thing to remember is you generally can't mix and match basic and advanced filters on the same filter row. Applying an advanced filter usually takes over.
Got it. One or the other. And one last thing on filters. Applying them at different levels, dashboard, section, app, how does that work? Do they stack?
That's a really important concept. Yes, they can interact. When you apply filters, you often get choices on how they interact.
Like what?
You might see an option like apply these filters only, override all others. Pretty clear wipes out any other filters and just uses the ones you just set.
Okay.
Or you might see apply all filters from all levels using ANGI. This means data has to match the dashboard filter and the section filter, and the app filter to be shown. Very restrictive.
Right, passes all the gates.
Uh-huh. And conversely, there might be an apply all filters from all levels using OR option. In that case, data just needs to match the filter at any one of those levels to be included. Much broader.
Understanding the and/or logic seems critical to getting the right data subset.
Definitely. It controls exactly how those layers combine.
Okay, that's a fantastic deep dive into filtering. Now let's shift gears to organizing the dashboards themselves. The docs mention a dashboards panel.
Right, that panel you get when you click the main dashboards button in the header. That's your management hub.
We mentioned lists, favorites, my dashboards, shared. What else can you do in that panel?
Quite a lot, actually. You can create brand new dashboards from scratch right there.
Okay.
Add dashboards you use often to your favorites list. Edit the names and descriptions of existing dashboards. Duplicate one maybe as a template for something new.
Uh-huh. Duplicating sounds handy.
It is. You can also move dashboards into folders to keep things organized, which is really important if you have a lot of them.
Folders too.
Yeah. And crucially, you manage access permissions for shared dashboards and folders there. Plus, there's an option to add a dashboard to transport for moving it between systems. And of course, you can delete dashboards you don't need anymore.
And you can manage the folders themselves from there too. Creating, renaming.
Exactly. Create new folders, rename them, move folders around, maybe nest them and delete folders. It's all about building a structure that makes sense for you and your team.
Let's touch on that assign access bit again. That sounds key for collaboration. How does it work?
It's how you control who gets to do what with public dashboards and folders. It's usually based on user roles defined in the platform.
Right.
You can set permissions at the folder level, say, everyone in the analyst role can edit anything in this folder.
Okay.
Or you can set permissions on a specific dashboard within a folder. And the important thing is the dashboard level permissions override the folder level ones.
Ah, so you can get granular, give general folder access, but maybe restrict one specific dashboard inside it.
Precisely. Or vice versa. Give read-only folder access, but let specific people edit one dashboard. It's flexible. Just remember, you generally can't give someone more permissions than your own role has.
Makes sense. A layered permission system. Okay, moving inside a dashboard now. Structuring the content. You mentioned sections and app groups.
Right. This is done via the Manage Layout option, usually found in the main dashboard options.
Yeah.
It's all about making the dashboard itself easy to read and use.
So sections are like dividers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Visual blocks to group related apps. When you create a standard section, you give it a title, maybe a subtitle, an icon, and you choose how the apps inside it are arranged, like in columns or rows. And remember, you can set filters specifically for that section too.
Right. We covered that. And what about template-based sections?
Those are a bit more advanced. They use pre-built templates, often created by developers. They might have a specific look or even some built-in interactions. Less common for everyday users, maybe, but powerful.
Okay. And how do app groups differ from sections?
App groups are more about grouping very similar apps together, maybe different views of the same core data. The key difference is presentation. With an app group, you pick one app as the default. It's the only one you see initially. The others in the group are kind of hidden, accessible maybe via a dropdown or tabs within that group space, often controlled by some script.
Ah, so it saves space, shows the main view, but keeps related ones handy.
Exactly. Keeps the dashboard less cluttered initially. Sections for broad categories, app groups for consolidating similar views.
Got it. And moving these things around, sections, apps, is it drag and drop?
Usually, yes. In that Manage Layout screen, you can typically just grab a section or an app and drag it where you want it.
Nice and easy.
Yeah. And also, from the individual apps options menu, there's usually a Move to Section command. You just pick the section you want to send it to from a list.
Okay, simple enough. Right, we've covered viewing, filtering, organizing. Now, getting the data out. The doc spent a lot of time on downloading.
Yeah, that's obviously a critical piece. Taking those dashboard insights and using them elsewhere or sharing them. And there are a few ways to do it. Raw data. Formatted reports.
Let's start with the raw data. How can you pull that?
Two main ways. From a single app or from multiple apps at once.
Okay, single app first.
Go to the app's own app options menu. The choices depend on the app, type, table, chart, map. For a table, you might get options like download all records, first 100 records, data currently in view. You'll pick the format, usually CSV or Excel. Choose if you want a header row with details about filters, etc. And for tables, you can often even select which specific columns to include.
So quite a bit of control even on a single app download.
Definitely. Charts and maps have relevant options too, maybe downloading the summarized data or an image.
And downloading from multiple apps, how does that work?
You go via the main dashboard options menu, choose download. It'll likely show you a list of all apps on the dashboard.
Right.
You check off the ones you want data from. Then for each one you selected, you'll get similar configuration choices as the single app download format, columns, etc. You can get the whole combined download and name, too.
That sounds way more efficient if you need data from several places on the dashboard.
It is. Much better than downloading them one by one.
What about tracking these downloads? Is there a history? If something takes a while, maybe?
Yes. There's usually a downloading data from history section or similar. It logs your past downloads.
What does it show?
Things like the status processing, completed, failed, which app it was from, the file name, who requested it, when. Crucially, an expiry date for the download link, because the file might only be kept temporarily on the server.
Ah.
And the file size, number of records, and if it's still available, the actual download link, plus an option to delete old entries.
And does it tell you when a download is finished? If it's running in the background?
Yeah. Notifications are common for that. You'll likely get an alert when it starts and another when it's done, often with the download link right in the notification.
Convenient. Okay, that's raw data. What about the download report options? How are they different?
Reports are more about capturing the visual presentation of the dashboard, not just the underlying numbers. You find this in the dashboard and section options.
Right.
There are usually two types. A concise report tries to give you a snapshot of what you see on screen, laid out similarly, good for printing, or a quick PDF share.
Like a screenshot, but maybe cleaner.
Kinda, yeah. More formatted. Then there's often a verbose report. This is a more detailed PDF.
What's in that?
It includes header info, lists all the sections and apps, shows the filters applied to each app, and might even have data summaries. It's a much more comprehensive record of the dashboard state. It might also handle things like large tables using pagination and potentially include AI insights if the platform has that feature.
Okay, concise for a quick view, verbose for the full details. Got it. Lastly, the docs mentioned scheduling a download, automating this whole process.
Yes, this is super powerful for recurring tasks. Need that sales report every Monday morning. Schedule it.
Where do you set that up?
Again, usually under the download area within dashboard options. You'll see a place to view existing schedules, see what's running, when it last ran, when it runs next, who set it up.
And creating a new one.
You'd select the apps you want, configure their download settings just like a manual download format columns, maybe save those settings for the schedule. Then you define the schedule itself.
Like start date, end date, frequency.
Exactly. Daily, weekly, monthly, specific time of day. And importantly, you set up notifications.
Notifications for scheduled downloads. How do they work? Email.
Typically both. You can get desktop notifications if you're logged in when it runs. And you can set up email notifications.
Email seems more reliable for automation.
For sure. You can usually specify who gets the email, customize the subject and message, and importantly for security, set an expiry time for the download link included in the email.
Right, so the link doesn't just hang around forever. That's smart. Wow, this is a really complete set of download and reporting tools.
It really covers a lot of ground, from quick ad hoc pulls to fully automated scheduled reporting.
Okay, one final area the docs touched on, just interacting with the individual apps on the dashboard. What are the quick actions there?
When you just hover your mouse over an app, you'll usually see some icons pop up in its header.
Like shortcuts.
Yeah. Typically, icons for moving the app, viewing or tweaking its specific filters, maybe accessing a data summary or AI insights if available. An icon to maximize the app to fill the screen, one to close or remove it from the dashboard, maybe asking why, and sometimes resizing handles.
And besides the hover icons, there's the app's own options menu too, right? The three dots or gear icon.
Exactly. Clicking that gives you more specific actions for that app. Things like refreshing just that app's data, viewing its underlying data in a full screen table.
Right.
Editing its info name, icon, description, which dashboard section it's in, maybe toggling advanced filters for it, removing it from the dashboard, downloading its data like we discussed, and moving it to another section.
So lots of fine-grained control right there at the app level, too.
Definitely.
Okay, well, that was incredibly thorough. We've really gone end-to-end on the AO Platform's dashboards page, from just landing there to filtering like a pro, organizing everything, and getting data out manually or automatically.
Yeah, it's clear it's designed to be a really powerful central place for users to get quick, customized views of their data.
Absolutely. The takeaway seems to be the sheer amount of control and customization available. You can really shape it to fit exactly what you need to see.
Right. Tailoring the views, filtering precisely, organizing logically, and then easily extracting the results. That combination is key.
So for you, the listener, the question to maybe ponder is, how could really strategically using these dashboard features, organizing with sections, leveraging saved filter views actually change your day-to-day? How could it transform how you understand and interact with your complex data?
That's the real goal, isn't it? Making data insights faster and easier to get. And remember, there's always more detail in the AO Platform Help Center if you want to explore even further.
Definitely worth exploring more. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.